Hey everyone, it's Marvin. This episode of Books and Boba is brought to you by Home Interrupted, a new podcast from our partners at Feet in Two Worlds. Climate change affects everyone, but it doesn't affect everyone equally. Immigrants often bear a unique burden due to climate change, but they're also leading the way with impactful solutions. Feet in Two Worlds, the news outlet and journalism training organization for immigrant voices, presents Home Interrupted. From flooded basement apartments in New York City to indigenous Maya farming practices in Nebraska, Feet in Two Worlds Home Interrupted brings you deeply reported original stories from across the United States. Episodes drop each week starting April 2nd. Find Feet in Two Worlds Home Interrupted wherever you listen to podcasts.
You're listening to
Whoa!
Potluck.
Welcome to another episode of Books and Boba, a book club and podcast featuring books by Asian American authors. My name is Marvin Ye, and I am coming at you today from the Toronto International Film Festival, where I am covering the festival on behalf of one of our other fellow podcasts, the Collabcast, which I also host. But today's episode was actually recorded a couple weeks ago. It is our discussion of To All the Boys I've Loved Before, both the book and the Netflix movie that's out right now, between Rira and her friends Alice and Catherine Fan Chang. This panel was handpicked by Rira, and they discuss everything from the differences between the book and the movie, as well as their favorite parts of both. So without further ado, here is the official Books and Boba discussion of To All the Boys I've Loved Before, original book by Jenny Han and the movie by Netflix. Enjoy.
Hello, and we are going to talk about To All the Boys I've Loved Before. We're going to talk about the book. We're going to talk about the movie. We're going to talk about pretty much our feelings about the series. Joining me today, we have Alice Fan Chang, an old friend of the podcast.
Yes, I'm back.
It's been so long.
It's very long.
And we also have her sister, Catherine Fan Chang.
Hello.
Who is probably the most ardent fan of the series.
I guess so.
I mean, you read all of the books.
I did.
And, I have not. I've only read the first two.
That's because you just don't have the third one.
I know. I do. when I read the first book, I immediately, on the same day, bought the second book. And I just finished the second book a couple days ago. Yeah. And now I'm like super mad. I should have bought like
all three of them
at the same time.
Yeah. I finished the first book a few days ago, or like a few days before the movie dropped. And then I was like, why didn't I put, because I listened on audiobook so that I can listen on the way to work. And I was like, why didn't I put the audiobook for the second book on hold immediately after I got the first book? Because now I'm waiting.
Yeah.
I told our friend to just order all three at once. I was like, girl, you don't want to wait.
So, like, I guess I just want to talk about, like, our general impressions of the series, because I, like, immediately fell in love with it. I just, like, immediately fell in love with this concept of love letters being shipped out to your crushes. It's like a high school nightmare.
It's the worst. Yeah, I don't know. I didn't expect to be, like, so into it, but it just was, like, immediately engaging.
Yeah.
I think it's just really sweet.
Yeah.
And that's what it is. That, like, the concept's really good, and then, you know, it could have been, like, super fluffy. I mean, it is, but, like, it could have been, like, really, like, something that I'm not into. But for some reason, it just grabs you immediately. And you're just like, man.
Yeah, I'm not really a fan of books that take place in high school. Because like, I'm in my late 20s now. And it's, like, very hard for me to connect to a protagonist who's, like, 16 years old.
Right.
But, like, I don't know. I, like, really liked Laura Jean. I thought she was, like, really quirky and funny and just, like, I could just picture her so clearly in her vintage clothes and, like, yeah, her baking cookies.
And she's just, like, so relatable, you know? Like, I don't know. Like, I just feel like, oh, like, I could know someone like that, or I could have been someone like that, you know?
Yeah.
I know Catherine, she started reading the series as it was getting popular. How did that feel?
Well, so I'm not really like the biggest reader, but what happened was I think I basically in the summer I was like, okay, I should probably like not just watch TV all the time. I was like, maybe I'll just like read something. So Alice obviously like loves books. She knows all the things happening or coming out, whatever. And she would like randomly always give me suggestions. And so I remember I told her, I was like, I just kind of want something like fun. I don't have to use my brain. How I describe it is like watching like a CW show. Like, you know, like I just
those are the best, by the way.
Yes. So, you know, it's just like, I just want to like something fun like that. And she was like, oh, well, I heard like Jenny Han has this book coming out and it sounds like it's kind of cute and like maybe it's like something you might want to look at. And I think before that too, she told me about her other series she did. Was it Burn for Burn? I don't know if that's the first one, but it was also like a three-parter. And that one too, I got interested in because she told me that it was like about these three girls and apparently like they are just like trying to like take down the school or something, like stuff happens, you know, like it's like girls, like angry girls,
mean girls,
yeah,
mean
but not
angry girls,
yeah. And I don't know if they were necessarily all mean, but definitely like angry girls, right? And like one of the girls was Asian, so I was like, oh cool, like I'm down to read that. So I was reading those, and I was also reading them when they weren't all out, so I was also like waiting for them. God,
it's like
out.
It's like reading Harry Potter. And you're just like, it's like, what's gonna happen next?
Yeah.
I have to wait a year.
Yeah, yeah, and obviously I do not have the best memory, so it's like I finish the book, I wait a year, it comes out, I'm like, crap, like what happened at the last one? And it's like I didn't own them, you know, so I'm just like, oh god. So anyway, I think after I finished that, I think probably the series was coming out, and so I was like, let's do this.
Yeah, so I have to ask, Team Josh or Team Peter when you were reading the book?
Definitely Peter.
Peter from the very beginning?
I think so.
Yeah, I agree.
It took me a while to get used to Peter, actually. Because, like, he seemed such, like, I don't, like a jock?
Yeah.
Yeah, like the typical jock that, like, everyone loves. And I'm just like, ugh, like.
Yeah.
It's like, this archetype, how am I going to actually cheer for him? Because obviously he's going to get Laura Jean. He's going to get the girl. So
right.
It's like, like, I hope I can, like, fall in love with him. But then I, like I think maybe, like, page 100, I was like, oh, no, I'm in.
I love him. Yeah, I feel like it was from the beginning. I can't, like I said, my memory's bad. I read a long time ago. But I feel like I think, yeah, there's reservations at first, right? Because obviously it's a fake relationship when it starts out. You can obviously predict that people are going to get feelings. But I just feel like when I was reading it, he did seem like a typical jock. But then there's like just something else, you know? Like he's not like just a jock. Like he's like a sweet boy. That's what it is. I think
what it is that like he takes care of Laura Jean so well, because Laura Jean is, you know, she's 16, she's never dated anyone before, and like he seems to respect that. And I guess it comes with like being in a fake relationship, like they have that contract, which is adorable, by the way. It's like classic rom-com like element there, like he like respects her boundaries, but at the same time he's like slowly challenging her. It's just like, it's like, you need to come to parties, like you need to like support me at my lacrosse games, like, and it's like really nice because I feel like Laura Jean in the book, she's kind of like sequestered herself into her home, and like I think that's probably because of her mom, right? Like her like her mom passed away, and you know, Margot, she goes to college, so she really doesn't have anyone to really lean on. And before Margot left, she kind of always had the support system in her family.
Right.
So there was really no need for her to like make new friends.
Yeah.
I mean, that was another thing too, like the whole like middle school to high school transition.
Yeah.
Like friendships change, and you know, Genevieve used to be her BFF, and it's just like a classic middle school story.
Right. And now she's her nemesis.
Yeah.
Were there any particular scenes that you liked in the first book? because there, I was talking to Alice about this the other day, and we were saying how the antique sale scene should have been in the movie, but wasn't.
I think, yeah, I would agree with that, just because I feel like you learn so much more about each character, and it's just a nice way for them to bond.
Yeah, it's like a long scene of them by themselves. You know, it's like the two of them go off to like this like antique or estate sale or whatever. And I feel like that's like they're not like around their peers or like it's not really like related to school. So it's like kind of nice to see basically them doing like a fun activity, like a date, but like without the context of like doing it in front of like
other people.
Their peers, you know?
Yeah, where they need to like make it seem like they're dating. Even though, you know,
yeah,
this was just, like, them being them.
Yeah. I mean, it was totally a date. She, like, packed sandwiches like, parchment paper.
Yeah.
And she, like, dressed up at, like, the estate sale. Right. And, like, she got all these, like, pretty dresses. And it's just, like, yeah, it was, like, such a nice scene. And I'm, like, really sad that they didn't include it in the movie.
Yeah. I know we're not really talking about the movie yet, but that was, like, one of the things I wish there was more of in the movie, which... was just more like I felt like I wanted at least one extra scene of just the two of them before the whole ski trip stuff, because I feel like there was enough. Obviously, I think it was a great movie, but I was also like, man, I just want more.
I mean for me, because I saw the movie before I read the book, like I already knew like the major beats to the story, right? But since the book is much longer, obviously, I was like, when is this gonna happen,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
The letters were sent out, but they're not in a fake relationship yet. Like, when is it gonna happen?
I was also same, because I also saw the movie first before I read the book, and it's kind of like, I was surprised because in the movie, you get enough setup of, like, how Lara Jean is with her sisters, and then Margot goes to college. But in the book, it's like, I remember thinking, like, wow, we're the letters aren't even out yet. Like, Margot has not left for college yet. Like, there's a lot more development of that relationship, which is good because, you know, her sisterhood is, like, important. But yeah, like, that was one of the surprising things, too. Like, I guess pacing expectations with the book was different.
Yeah. I mean, it's really weird because the movie was definitely, like, a rom-com movie. Like, it's about her and, like, these two guys that she, you know, she has a crush on and like develops like different complicated relationships with. But the book, I would say it's more like a book about sisterhood, and the romance is kind of like the icing on the cake, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, that was the thing with me, because I really love the sisterhood between Margot, Kitty, and Lara Jean. And actually, like, there's a lot of chapters with Margot in it.
Like, the beginning is like a lot of Margot. You really get, like, their dynamic, you know, and, like, I guess how important it is, which is, like, why in the movie, I mean, again, I guess we're not really there yet, but...
It's okay. We can go wherever we want. It's our podcast.
But yeah, like, it's kind of like some of the big, like, fight scenes and stuff that happen at the end, it's, like, more intense in the book because there's, like, a bigger foundation for the sisterhood and, like... I guess, like, you know, their expectations and about the relationships between each sister and, like, roles in the family and just things like that. So.
Yeah, definitely. Because you learn very early on that, like, Lara Jean's mother, she passed away because she fell. Like, she was cleaning and
a freak accident.
Yeah, she, like, slipped, hit her head, and she was lucid. And she called, like, her family saying, like, oh, I hit my head, but, like, I think I'm okay. And then when Margot gets home, she's the one who finds her mother, and she's the one who calls 911. And then after the death of her mother, like, Margot is the one who's taking care of everything. She's cooking. She's making sure her dad, like, you know, is able to come home comfortably and not, like, worry too much about the sisters. And once Margot goes to college, a lot of that responsibility is shifted to Lara Jean. And, of course, like, she's not the same person as her sister.
Right.
So, like, things are going to change. And that's kind of, like, the foundation for why that fight at the end of the book happens.
Yeah.
Because, like, Margot comes back for Christmas break, and she comes back to a home where everything has pretty much changed and has been functioning somewhat okay without her. And that's kind of like, it's just like, oh, I guess my family never really needed me.
Yeah, it was like, yeah, it was more like the fight that they have at the end is more, there's like more elements to it.
Which yeah, it's not her yelling at her sister being like, you like my ex-boyfriend? Like, how dare you?
It's like there's an element of that, but then there's like all this other family stuff going on too, you know, that feeds into that. So like in the, I know like we kind of talked about this, but that part of the book was like really surprising to me because it was just so intense. Like, it was just one of those things where I was like, I don't know if they can come back from this. Whereas in the movie, I'm like, oh, okay, like they're fine.
I mean, if that sort of thing happened to you too, like, would you be like,
I don't know.
They're like glaring at each other.
Who knows? It could happen. Yes. You don't know.
Yeah, I don't.
What about Josh? Because a lot of, obviously the movie didn't really go in depth with the relationship between Josh and Laura Jean. I think the movie focused much, much more on Peter and Laura Jean. Mm-hmm. Whereas like in the book, there was like kind of this like tug of war.
Right.
Yeah.
Because at one point, like Josh tells her that he likes her and he kisses her.
Yes.
And then that's when she realizes that she likes Peter and not him. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. It was like the Josh stuff in the book was definitely more complicated. It's kind of interesting because, again, I saw the movie first, and in the movie, you know, obviously they cast people who are, like, really charming, so I was, like, immediately, like, charmed by Josh, and then, you know, he has the benefit of, like, actually having a relationship with Laura Jean before anything, you know, like, they were friends before, and even after he became Margot's boyfriend, they, like, still hung out and stuff, so I was, like, kind of more team him, but then obviously, like, Peter won me over, but in the book, it's more interesting because there's much more of, like, a love triangle feel just because they do actually bring in more of the, like, well, how does Josh feel about Laura Jean, especially after he gets the letter and finds out that she's been, like, holding a torch for him or at least used to have a huge crush on him. So, I mean, yeah, that was pretty intense.
So, what did the casting match up to your expectations? Catherine, since you read the book before you watched the movie?
I feel like I was fine with all of the girls because I was like, that's awesome. Obviously, they casted Asian Americans and were very firm about that. So I thought that was amazing. I feel like the casting lived up to my expectations. Except for Peter, I was not sure about. That one was the only one just because I, for some reason in my head, had assumed that he kind of looked just like a typical Josh. Like, I'm Jock, sorry.
Josh?
I know. Whoa, what's happening? Okay. But I was thinking more like Abercrombie, you know? Like, that was kind of the look I was seeing in my head. So when I saw the trailer, I was like, I'm not really sure about this guy. So, but I mean, obviously now it's like, I'm cool with it.
I have an interesting trivia about that. So Noah Centineo, who plays Peter Kavinsky, he and Israel Broussard, who plays Josh, neither of them knew which part would go to them.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, they did a chemistry test with Lana Condor, who plays Lara Jean in the movie. And like, the casting director, like, thought that Israel was going to play Peter Kavinsky, mm-hmm. just from, like, gut feeling. But then Noah Centineo, like, did really, really great with the chemistry scene with chemistry test with Lana Condor. So they're like, he's Peter.
Right.
And the funny thing is, like, Noah and Israel are friends. So they were, like, talking about it, like, while they were on set, being like, yeah, I was okay with, like, playing the other role. Right. Like, it could have been either of us.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is interesting.
I feel like I read something recently about that, too, where, like, or watched an interview, and I think they were saying it was, like, the same thing. Yeah, they did the chemistry test, and then they're like, okay, definitely Noah and Lana. And then they said that Janelle and Israel had, like, a good, like, they vibed together, too. So they're like, I guess it worked out in the end that, you know,
Right. I just remembered a really big change in the movie from the book, and it's how the letters got sent out.
Yes.
Because, okay, so Kitty in the movie is like this precocious, charming little 9-year-old, whereas in the book, she's like
a brat.
She's a complete brat.
Yeah, like in the, yeah, definitely, that was a big surprise for me too, from going from movie to book, because I really like Kitty in the movie, because it's kind of like she's, like, written to be played that way.
Yeah, she's, like, a snarky little...
Yeah, like, she's a smarties. Brat, but, like, a cute brat, because she's so precocious and, like, clearly, like, you know, smarter than her age would suggest, all this stuff. And then in the book, she just comes off a lot younger, so, like,
her... Like, she's very much a 9-year-old.
Yeah.
Like, maybe a little bit mature for a 9-year-old, but, like, she's definitely, like, a 9-year-old, and... Like, in the book, she sends out the letter out of spite instead of being like, oh, I want my older sister to have a boyfriend so I don't have to take the bus every day.
Yeah. Her and Lara Jean have more of, like, I guess what you would expect from, like, a sibling relationship. Like, it's a little bit more antagonistic is what it feels like in the book. Like, they still love each other, obviously, but that's what it felt like. Whereas in the movie, it's, like, it's more, like, loving sort of teasing, you know? Mm-hmm. But yeah, that was the surprise, was the intent behind sending out the letters was very different.
Because in the book, Kitty sends out the letters because Lara Jean teases her, saying like, oh, you like Josh.
And she gets really mad about it.
Yeah, she gets really embarrassed, and that's why she sends out the letters.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh my god, I would kill my sister.
Definitely.
It was really weird for me to read this book, because I'm the only girl in my family. I have two younger brothers. So, like, just reading about sisters, like, sharing clothes and doing each other's makeup and hair, I was like, wow.
World.
I was like, this has actually happened? This sounds, like, way too nice. Like, you can just go to someone's closet and just steal their outfit. And
I mean, that is 100% true for me and Catherine. Mostly, I steal her clothes.
That is true. Sometimes I will look for something that I want, and she is wearing it.
Yeah, not today, though. Today, I'm wearing all my own clothes.
Yeah. But, I mean, I guess sisters are just weird, you know? It's just, like, a weird thing, I feel like. It's, like, people who are, like, really, like, do not like their siblings, and then there's, like, ones who are, like, they're, I guess, like, us, where we're, like...
We get along.
But I just remember, like, it's, like, I guess it's just, like, that age that you're at.
Because
I feel like we didn't get along that much when we were younger.
Yeah. So we have, like, a 4-year age difference. And then, I mean, I do distinctly remember when I was, like, 11, really resenting Catherine. But it was, like, because my parents used to take, or our parents used to make me take her everywhere.
That's true.
So it's, like, if I was going to, like, a friend's birthday party, they'd be, like, well, ask them if you can bring your sister.
That's true.
So I think I resented stuff like that. So I guess that's, like, a little bit, I feel like that's kind of my feeling about book Lara Jean and Kitty. You know, where it's this whole, like, well, now that you're the oldest, you have to take Kitty to school, you know, sort of thing. So, like, there's a little bit more antagonism, I feel like, between them. But I feel like it's that age, because after that, like,
we're
pretty chill.
I feel like it was fine, but, like, we'd still have fights and stuff, like, when you're
about
in high school
things.
And things. Yeah, but I feel like we got to the point that we are at now, it was, like, after she left for college. Because I think then you get, like, that space, you know, like, you know, because for me, I technically have never lived by myself before until she left. So I feel like, you know, then you just kind of, like, realize, like, oh, you know, like, this is what it's like to be on your own, or, like, you know, whatever. But
yeah, I would say, like, Margot and Lara Jean's relationship, it's a little bit unusual because they don't have a mother. Mm-hmm. And,
right.
Like, it's kind of like a semi-mother-daughter relationship.
Yeah.
And because, like, they're so close together, like, once they're separated, it's, like, you start realizing, I guess, like, all the stuff that you've been holding in, it, like, suddenly just blows up.
Yeah. Especially, like, one of the things that, like, comes into that big fight at the end in the book with Lara Jean and Margot is that, like, Lara Jean's like, well, Margot would never keep any secrets from me, you know? Like, even though she, like, even though Margot takes, like, this sort of motherly role for the whole family, it's still that whole, like, oh, but she's my older sister and we're so close. And after our mom passed away, like, both of us, you know, we both of us became, like, a team in terms of, like, taking care of Kitty and our dad and stuff. So when she finds out, like, that Margot does have some secret things that she has not told her, she like, feels really, like, hurt by it.
Yeah,
but like, then
really
she, like,
betrayed by
but
it.
But then she, like, holds it in because she's like, oh, well, it's none of my business anyway. I guess I don't know my sister that well. But then that obviously comes back around in the end when things go bad.
One thing I really, really liked about the book was just, like, how it captured, like, a 16-year-old girl's, like, feelings. Like how it feels to, like, crush on someone so hard and, like, expecting them to, like, never like you back. Right. And just, like, having all these daydreams about them and, like, having, like, all these intense feelings. And, like, I don't know, like, did you guys feel that fluffy feeling when you were reading the book?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Because I just feel like, you know, you start it and you're just kind of, like, in.
Yeah.
Like, quick, you know, and it's just, like, because you are just in it so quickly, you're, like, reading it so fast. So it's, like, you're getting those feelings, I feel like, as fast as she is or, you know, yeah. Whatever.
There are, like, scenes where the actual letter shows up, like, oh my in God. Handwriting. Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
And I'm just, like, I feel like I'm reading something really private.
Yeah, I had, like, such intense, like, again, since I was hearing an audiobook, it was, like, someone was reading them to me, and I was, like, oh, my gosh, if this was what was in my letters and my sister sent them out to, like, the people I was crushing on, I would die. Like, I would just never go back to school.
You're just too intense.
Yeah.
I would be like, I'm moving.
Yes, moving away.
I mean, like, her happening. Response to just, like, the letters get sent out and Josh confronts her. And her reaction is just like, oh, I have a boyfriend. It's all good. Yeah. Like, you don't have to worry about that letter because I have someone else that I like. And then she just jumps on Peter and, like, makes out with him in the hallway. But in the movie, she, like, makes out with him in the track field.
Right. Yeah.
But, like, when I was watching the movie, I was like, huh, I wonder if that's actually what happened in the book or they're just, like, traumatizing it.
The book is actually more dramatic in this case, I feel like.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, the track scene was actually more realistic.
I mean, like, there's a scene where she rolls out of her window.
That is, like, my favorite scene.
In the movie.
Like, when it happened, I was like, oh my God, she's dead. Like, she didn't make that. You know, because, like, everyone's like, oh, well, the fall wasn't that, like, it wasn't that high. And I'm like, it doesn't matter. You don't know if there's bushes down there. It's concrete. Yeah. Like, how, and, you know, she fell and then she, like, popped up, got on a bike and went to the cafe. Like, that is crazy. Like, she had no, injuries.
That was such a great moment, though, because I totally thought, I was just like, oh, haha, she's, like, climbing out the window. So I was like, oh, you know, maybe she's just going to,
maneuver
herself down off the roof. But it was like she lost her footing and just rolled off the side.
That was crazy.
I mean, in the book, she pretty much just like runs out the back door and she like hides out in her treehouse. Mm-hmm. Definitely not rolling out of her window and like hoping that she doesn't break her neck. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. But yeah, considering how embarrassing, like, the whole letter situation is, I can't say I wouldn't have done the same. Like, the feelings were so intense.
Yeah.
I would have been like, oh no, I just need to get out of this situation.
Yeah, I definitely would have rolled out the window. Even if I might have died.
I mean, speaking of embarrassment, that hot tub video that gets sent out, I thought in the movie, I was like, dang, that's really bad.
Yeah.
Like I would, like, being a teenager nowadays sucks. Like, everything's, like, publicized. But when I was reading the book, I was like, dang, this is worse. In the book, it is so much worse. Like, the cyberbullying.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man. I know. It's, like, hard to be a kid these days, I think. It's easier for you to like get caught.
Yeah, you just can't do anything almost. That's what it feels like, just because, like,
it's so easy.
Someone's watching.
Yeah,
you know?
So easy for someone to, like, get material on you, even if it's, like, something innocent, you know, or, like, not anyone's business. But, yeah. But, yeah, in the book, it was pretty bad.
In the book, like, she gets turned into a meme, and it's, like, shared not just in her school, but, like, all throughout, like, the county, pretty much, because all the other high schools, like, know about it.
Right.
And they're remixing it and posting it, like, on the internet, and pretty much the way they get it down is Peter threatens Anani Bitch, the Instagram user who uploaded
it. Oh, yes.
He's like, my uncle is a lawyer, and he's going to, like, shut that down. And Lara Jean's like, is your uncle actually a lawyer? He's like, no, he's a piece of delivery guy.
It just sucks, like, because, you know, it's like the internet never forgets.
Yeah.
So, like, I know one of the main complaints about the movie was the casting of Lara Jean, because Lara Jean is mixed race. Like, her dad is white and her mom is Korean. Did you guys have any, like, feelings about the casting when you first heard about it?
I honestly didn't.
Were you just happy that an Asian girl
pretty much.
Was?
Yeah, I'm not, like, picky when it comes to these things.
I know. It's a very low bar.
Yeah. Like, I just think it's cool, you know? Like, and it's cool that they got, like, Lana, who's, like, full Vietnamese, I think, right? And so, like, I think that's cool, because I know the other thing is always, like, people get mad when they cast, like, biracial people in roles when they think it should go to, like,
You mean like Henry Golding?
Yes, exactly. That is what I'm referring to.
I think one of our friends was like, oh, whoa, they cast a full Asian in a role that was mixed race.
Yeah.
They're like, that almost never happens. Usually a mixed race person will get cast in, like, a full Asian role. Yeah.
So I mean, I obviously don't have a problem with any of it, because I just feel like, you know, like, we don't see this ever really, so why complain? And I think my thing too was, like, in terms of, like, Henry Golding, at least I was like, he, like, looks Asian though. Like, I feel like when I look at him, I'm like, oh yeah, he definitely looks Asian, more so than, like, you know, other biracial people who look like they could be more, like, white,
yeah,
or, you know,
I mean,
whatever.
Yeah, like, features and
yeah.
Like that. Yeah, I mean, like, the girl on the cover of, To All the Boys I Loved Before, like, she is exactly how I pictured Lara Jean to be.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's kind of sad that she's not an actress.
Right, right.
Like, I want you to play her.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like, a lot of people were complaining about the casting. And in a perfect world, I would have preferred it if the role went to a mixed race girl who is, like, part Asian, part white. But unfortunately, we're not there yet.
Yeah.
But, like, I think Lana Condor did an amazing job.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
I think she really brought life into the character. And she's also an adoptee, I believe. So it's not like she doesn't understand what it feels like to be raised in,
like, a mixed family.
Yeah, she was great. I feel like she, like I said, I don't really have any strong feelings, I guess, like, in terms of, like, oh, I had this person in mind to play this role. So I feel like with her, like, she was perfect to me.
Yeah.
That's another thing in the book, like, because, like, her mom is Korean, her dad is, like, always trying to, like, incorporate their Korean culture into their family lives. And I'm just like, dang, like, her dad tries really hard.
Yeah.
It's so easy to just, like, not give a fuck and just be like, okay, this is, like, we're only going to eat white people food.
Right?
Like, only celebrate white holidays.
Yeah, I think it's sweet that he, like, tries to keep them in touch with that part of their heritage, you know?
And it's, like, nice that, like, they go see their grandmother, like, pretty often. Mm-hmm. And, like they watch Korean soap operas together.
Yeah.
And
yeah, in the book, it's more, like, there's more of that, of the, like,
yeah,
keeping in touch with their Korean side. So it's, like, I kind of wish there was a little more of that in the movie, but, like you said, this movie's, like, the book feels more like this coming-of-age, like, family drama
romance. Yeah, the movie is, like, more romance.
Yeah, the movie is, like, no, this is a teen rom-com. So I understand, like, the changes they made you know, to like streamline everything. And I love the movie, so
I've watched the movie 3 times since we last talked.
Yeah, like once every day.
But like I was telling, I was talking to Catherine earlier because I read the second book and I was so mad.
Like, I have not read the second book.
Because it kind of ends on a cliffhanger.
Oh no!
It's an ending, but it's kind of like cliffhanger-ish.
You're just like, why? Especially because remember at this time there were only 2. It was supposed to only be 2 books. So to me, I was like,
this can't be the end.
Joking? Like, this is not the end. There is definitely more to this. So,
I mean, so that's interesting too. So I have not read the second book, but that was the other thing, was that like the book for the first book actually ends on like a more unresolved note than the movie does. Which makes sense because, again, movie has to be more, like, complete. So I feel like, so since I saw the movie before, I was expecting the book to end, like, roughly around where the movie ends with that kind of, like, that level of resolution. But I was so surprised that the first book actually ends on a more open-ended note because she realizes her feelings about Peter, but she does not actually go to him.
Yeah, it's kind of like Inception where with the top spinning. Yeah. Like, are you in a dream or are you not in a dream? Yeah. Like, is she going to go after Peter or is it going to happen?
Yeah, so I remember I was surprised by that.
That was why I bought the second book, like literally literally an hour after we finished the first book.
I remember when I finished it was one of those, you're like, wait, what? And then you, like, go back 2 pages and you read it again. And then you're like, wait, what? And then you do it again. Like, you know, you do, like, for, like, 5 minutes. I just keep going, doing the same thing, like, wishing that they'd magically appear.
Yeah, like, in the second book, like, John Ambrose McLaren, right? And McLaren, is that his last name?
It is.
Yeah, he's like, a major character.
Huge part.
Oh, interesting.
I would say there's more parts with him than with Peter.
Definitely. Which was why I was, like, annoyed at how the second book ended. Because I was like, what? Like, you know, I was like, I felt like I didn't get enough Peter in this book. And now this book is over. Like, what is happening?
There might not be any more.
Yeah. What is happening? I was like, this is not okay.
But there was a third book.
Yeah, but I had to wait for it.
But, like, you didn't know at the time.
Exactly. I didn't know. I thought it was done. And I was like, well, that sucked. Not that the book was bad. You know, I liked it. It was just, I personally did not feel like I had resolution.
Jenny Han is, like, really good at, like, ending her book on such, like, a...
Yeah.
Like, not a cliffhanger. Because, like, they're endings. Yeah, it's an ending, but it's, like, you want more.
Yeah, it's not an ending that you want, personally. It's like... You're just like, no.
You gotta tell me more.
Keep writing. Like, I need more.
It's like when you're watching a movie and like the couple finally like get together, but it's just like a kiss and you don't see the wedding and you're like, no, like I really want to see what happens next.
You're like, I've, you know, been with these people for so long.
Right.
You know, and then it just ends and you're like, wait, that wasn't it. There's more.
I'm trying to think, is there anything else we need to cover? Oh, Genevieve. Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
Genevieve in the movie and Genevieve in the book are, I mean, they're similar, but I feel like in the book she's more
mean. I don't remember.
Like for like in the book, I felt a little bit more sympathetic towards her because maybe I got more context to who she was.
Right.
Whereas in the movie, I'm just like, oh, you're just a mean girl, pretty girl.
You understand more of like who she is because you know a little bit more of like her like own personal stuff, and I think that's why it also helps with like the whole like Peter stuff with her, where you're, because you know in the movie you're just kind of like, why, you're an idiot, like why do you keep talking to her? Like, you know, whatever. Even though I get it, right, like he said, like we have history, so like those feelings won't go away, so I get that. But then in the book I feel like you kind of understand it a little bit more. I mean, I could be mixed.
I mean, like with the first, I mean in the second book you realize what happens to Genevieve, but I'm gonna spoil that, but
yeah.
But I'll talk about that later. But like in the first book, Genevieve, it really sets the groundwork to like what Lara Jean and Genevieve were as best friends.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's just like, oh, like, they used to hang out a lot together. Yeah. And eventually they grew apart. And in the second book, you realize, like, it's because of Peter that they stopped being friends. And actually in the movie, when she says, like, oh, it, like, you kissed Peter, and that's why, like,
right.
Yeah.
That's, like, why we're not friends anymore.
That's why we're not friends anymore. And like, Laura Jean jokes saying, there's no tongue in that kiss. It's
right.
It's like a spin the bottle kiss. Yeah. And she's just like, well, it had tongue in it for me.
Yeah.
Like, that kind of comes off as, like slapdash humor.
Right.
In the movie, but in the book, like, it's a kind of a similar scene where she says, like, oh, you kissed Peter, you knew that I liked him, and blah, blah, blah. But, like, in the book, it actually feels, like, kind of heartbreaking.
Right.
Yeah.
Whereas in the movie, it's like, oh, haha, that's, like, yeah, so funny that she held
this. Like, yeah, right. Like, you're so petty to, like, hold on to this. Yeah. But, yeah, in the book, yeah, there's, like, more context, which always helps.
Yeah, yeah. There's more context, and, like, you kind of feel for Genevieve because, like, in the first book, you don't know what's happening in her family, but you get a sense that, like, not everything is okay.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And that, like, Peter has always been a constant for her.
Right.
Whereas, like, in the movie, it's just like, oh, she's just a
mean girl.
Yeah.
But, I mean, in the movie, I guess it's like they try to at least hint at it a little bit, I would say, in that part, that confrontation. Because she does say, like, oh, like, you know, I'm not as mean as I make myself seem.
Right. Yeah.
So, you know, it's like, obviously it's not a lot, but
yeah,
it's like kind of like a little bit like, just because I'm like a mean girl doesn't mean I'm actually mean, like,
right.
I liked how, like, both in the book and the movie, Peter, like, he does come across as insecure because like he's like this, like, Mr. Popular guy,
yeah, right,
but, like, you learn that he's really, like, I guess he has, like, this trauma with his dad, like, leaving. So he's kind of like, oh, I can't take rejection that well. And he's always, like, constantly trying to, I mean, he's kind of an attention hogger in, like, in, like, a mean way. like I'll say, like, he's, like, vain, but he's vain in a way where he's just like, I don't want people to leave me. I don't want people to, like, leave out of my life. And I think that's why he meshes with Laura Jean so well, because Laura Jean has, like, her whole, like, my mom passed away before I was grown up, and, you know, people can just leave whenever they want, and that's why she writes love letters and not get into actual relationships,
right.
Which I thought was, like, that's such a teenage thing to do.
Yeah, it's like writing in your diary, you know?
It's like writing fan fiction. Like, fan fiction of your life.
But yeah, I like that about... That's why I appreciated, like, in the movie, like, all the, like, serious conversation moments they have. Because it's, like, cute, but then it really gets into, like, why these two people in a fake relationship would start developing, like, deeper feelings. Because they both are like you said, afraid of losing people because they've had this, like, big loss in their lives, you know? So I like that. Peter does come across as more vain in the book, though,
I would say. Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's a really cute book. And
yeah.
I would be lying if I said, oh, I'm done with the books, because I'm probably going to reread them, like, a whole bunch of times.
Just like watching the movie.
I'm really curious about whether or not they're going to make a sequel to this movie, because John Ambrose McLaren, God, I hate his name. It's, like, it's so mouthy and I, like, never remember it. Yeah, just, like, wonder what's going to happen with that storyline.
Yeah. I feel like, you know, Netflix is just toying with our feelings at this point. I feel like they're going to do it.
I mean, they hinted it at, like, the credits.
Like, they're definitely going to do these next two books. I just know
they have to.
They already, like, did, like, the first maybe 50 pages of the second book, because the first book ends just, like, on that love letter that she writes, so.
But I think I read somewhere that the director did say that the cast and crew are signed on for a sequel. Like, they've already had that in the contract, like, when they were making this first one. So it's just a matter of Netflix greenlighting it. And I also, like, the director also mentioned that both Lana and Noah were like, we want to make this thing, like, we want to do it fast because we can't be, we can't be teens, like, forever. So I think I think in that article, or maybe it was something else that I read, was that they were saying that if it does go through, they're going to film them back to back.
Oh, that would be smart.
Yeah. So, yeah. Netflix.
I mean, they're already, like, I mean, like, Peter Kavinsky, like, the actor Noah Centineo, he does not look like he's in high school.
Yeah.
Looks like he's, like, in his mid to late 20s. No 16-year-old boy looks
like, I will definitely say in the movie, he does look younger, like, than he does, like, regular in real life. But it is true, no 16-year-old looks like that.
It's the CW effect.
It is.
Oh my gosh. But backtracking a little bit, since I have not read the second book, but the John Ambrose thing was interesting because in the first book, there's more of a thing with him. Like a plot thing, because she actually sees him in the first book.
Yeah, she actually seeks him out.
Yeah. In the first book. Yeah. So, and there's like, she kind of goes, because, you know, in the movie, it obviously focuses on her crush on Josh and her crush on Peter because they're there. So it kind of just like, she kind of just glances over the other letters. But in the book, it was interesting to me because since I expected it to just gloss over the other letters, it was interesting that John Ambrose actually came up as much as he did.
Because
then, like, she and Peter actually, like, have a conversation about him. And then at, like, a middle point in the book, their school's, like, either her school or another local, like, high school is having one of those, like,
Model UN
events. And then she was like, well, I'm just going to go and see if he's there. And, like, she actually does see him. And so it's kind of like there's more going on there. And so I was like,
See, that part I was like, huh. Like, she should have just Facebook stalked him. Like, she didn't have to, like, go in person to, like, go find him.
But I guess she just, like, really needed to know. I guess maybe, like, to see, you know? Because it's, like, it's been so many years or whatever.
Yeah. And she did just go being like, I don't even know he's going to be there. I'm just going to go. And I was like, okay.
Oh, random question.
Oh, yeah.
Have you guys ever written in a diary? Or, because, like, you know how, like, Laura Jean, like, gushes out her feelings through love letters? Like, have you guys, like, written diaries or?
Like, I did when I was, like, I want to say, like, in fourth grade. It's interesting. So, in the summers, my parents used to force me to write in journals. Like, I would have to write a journal entry a day over the summer. So, obviously, that was, like, nothing personal. No one ever read them because it wasn't like my parents were, like, checking my self-assigned homework. But I know in, fourth or fifth grade, I, like, got an actual, like, diary. So I definitely wrote in that. But I don't know if I wrote anything as intense as, like, Laura.
Did you ever write love letters to your crushes?
I did not write love letters to my crushes. I'm pretty sure I wrote about things like, oh, so-and-so was, like, so annoying today. Like, things about my friends or,
probably
like,
me.
Boring stuff. Probably wrote about Catherine.
Definitely.
No fancy Valentine's Day chocolates.
No fancy Valentine's Day chocolates.
I did not write. I think it was, like, one of those things where I knew she had, like, a journal or a diary. And so, as a little sister, I was like, oh, I want one, too. But I, like, never wrote in it. That's, like, I think that's, like, how we're different, you know? Like, you, like, read a lot. You, like, do poetry stuff, like, whatever. I, like, was not about it. I was, like,
Ravenclaw Slytherin.
Yeah, I was just like, oh, okay, now I have it. But what am I doing with it? Like, what do I write? Like, you know. So I did not. I think I might have, like, written, like, two pages in, like, a little journal that I had, but it was probably, like, nothing. I just felt like I needed to because she was doing it.
So you guys were the type to, like, never confess to your crushes or anything like that.
Oh, my God. No, never.
Oh, my God.
Never.
I feel like it's just such a weird thing when you're young. You know, you just don't know how to tell people things. And so I feel like for me, too, it wasn't, like, people.
I'm 100% about avoidance. I avoided so many people who are, like, trying to ask me out in, like, middle school.
I feel like I tried to do that, too, that same approach. But it was also one of those things where I feel like like, none of the people that I knew for a fact liked me because, like, their friends would tell me or, like, right. you know, whatever. Like, they never came up to me and told me either, mm-hmm. you know? So it's always one of those weird things where it's, like, almost like...
No one's willing to make the
no
first
one's
move.
Yeah, but then, like, you kind of both know that you like each other or type of thing, you know? So then
someone had to send out your love letter.
Yeah, though I did not write any. Let's be clear here. I did not
write
any.
That's why it never
letter.
Happened.
Yeah, but then I also feel like I didn't really have, like, that
intense
many crushes on people in those years of my life.
Yes. What about you?
What about me? I've never written love letters, but I've definitely... went to a school where people did that.
Oh,
and,
interesting.
It's like super embarrassing because I like never, like it's never like one person sending it out to like the person that they like. It's always like this like weird
like
Congo line. Just like, here, pass to this person. And I'm just like, just go up to them. And, like, yeah,
they know it's going to be from
like,
you ultimately.
It's like that scene in Harry Potter, like the Goblet of Fire where Hermione, you know, they're like, Ron tells me, told me that Hermione
oh, yeah.
told him that,
yeah,
blah, blah, blah,
yeah, yeah.
And then she keeps going back and forth, and then she's just like, just tell him yourself!
Yeah. Or, like, you sneaked a love letter into someone's locker.
Right, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Lockers were there just for that.
They're like mailboxes.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, like, weird, because, like, when you're reading this book, you're just like, I never did that as a kid.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Never had those intense crushes, but obviously, like, some people have, so mm-hmm.
yeah.
it was, like, nice for me to, like, live vicariously
yeah.
through Lara Jean.
Yeah.
Because I'm just like, oh, I believed when I was 16 years old that love is dead, and relationships are fake, and monogamy never works, and I knew in high school that if anybody asked me out, I would turn them down immediately, because I'm like, it's high school, nothing lasts forever.
You're very practical.
Yeah. It's very, very practical. And that is why the person that I am with now, like, I told him in the very beginning that, like, I don't believe in relationships. So, like, yeah, I was very, very cynical up until, like, my early to mid-20s. So mm-hmm. it's, like, really weird reading
yeah.
this book. I mean, like, oh, this girl reads a lot of romance novels, and she's like,
right.
really?
She was ahead of her time.
Yeah, ahead of her time.
Yeah, I was not reading romance novels at that age.
I read a lot of romance fan fiction
mm-hmm.
growing
I
up.
I did probably read yeah. some romance fan fiction.
I read a lot of Harry Potter fan fiction. Well,
who
that,
didn't?
Yeah, who didn't, really? Well, with that said, thank you so much for talking with me about this movie and also the book. Like, I really wanted to share, like, my feelings about, like, just, like, compare the movie and the book together. But, like, not a lot of people have done both. So
yeah.
I'm really glad that you guys agreed to be on
yeah.
this podcast.
I'm glad this, like, forced me to finally read the book because
yeah.
I've been meaning to forever.
I mean, I just need to reread them because clearly I don't remember anything.
We watched the movie together at the Netflix screening.
Yes.
And immediately after the movie ended, I, like, cornered
yes.
Catherine. And I was just like, what happens here? Like, it's like, is this like this in the book?
Yeah.
And, like,
yeah. is there more elaboration
and I was
on
like,
this?
Like, you know what? I don't remember.
And that was how we decided that we should do a podcast on
yes.
this, because there were so many questions that
many.
I wanted answered, and Catherine could not provide
them
for me.
Yeah. It's been a long time.
Jenny Han would be so disappointed in you.
I know. I'm just not very good at remembering. This is my problem with all reading. If I need to wait, you know, a year between things, chances are I probably forgot most things. I'll work on it.
Yes. Work on it for the next book and
yeah.
the next movie, Netflix,
do
calling
it.
You out. Do it.
Yeah. All right. And that's a podcast. Yeah.
Thank you.
And I hope you enjoyed the Books and Boba discussion of To All the Boys I've Loved Before. Again, the book is by Jenny Han and available in all bookstores now, part of a trilogy of books. And the movie is available for streaming on Netflix. Once again, this podcast is a proud member of the Potluck Podcast Collective, a collective of Asian American hosted podcasts featuring unique stories and narratives from all around the Asian American community. If you like this show, check out one of the other great Potluck podcasts, including The Collabcast, first of all, and They Call Us Bruce. The last episode of The Call Us Bruce was a special episode where they interviewed John Cho live. John Cho, of course, the star of the movie Searching in theaters now and part of the Asian August slate of films. Check out They Call Us Bruce and the other great Potluck podcasts by going to the website at podcastpotluck.com. And don't forget that our September Books and Boba book club pick is Number One Chinese Restaurant by Lillian Lee. We'll be discussing that book at the end of the month. If you've already finished it, please join the discussion on our Goodreads group. And don't forget to check out booksandboba.com for more information on the book club and our picks. And on that note, this has been Books and Boba. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see y'all next time. Bye.